everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 123, recording January 17th, 2021. We've got some Pokemon news to talk about, some RE8 Village, RE8age, I don't know how you say it, but Resident Evil Village news to talk about. And hey guys, we all pull up a chair. I'm going to spin mine around and sit down backwards. We need to talk about one of the worst movies I've seen in a long, long time. So, yeah, brace yourself for a full, fun, spoiler-filled discussion about that. My name is Zach Anderson. This is That Pixel Life. And joining me, as always, is Mr. Shannon Moore.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How you been?
I don't know. Peachy. Great. I'm using my new 3D printer to print out some cool stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah, 31 hours. And if you look in the camera, I printed four of these 3/4 inch thick hexagon pieces.
All right. You spent 31 hours making coasters and it only cost you about $500. Great.
They're going to go into a table, sir.
Oh, that's just... all right. Anyway, also joining us is old Nine Toes himself, Mr. Justin Time Carter. Justin, how's it going?
It's pretty good. Dude, Shannon's trying to give IKEA a run for their money. He's going to knock them off, and it's going to be called I Kinda.
I'm going to finish this table before Negative Space comes out. I'm just saying.
Oh, shots fired. And we are like 2 minutes into the recording, gentlemen.
Ooh, he doesn't even have a response. Look at him. He's just fuming over there. He's like, oh, dude, I'm going to kill you.
I can't even be mad about that, though. Like, that was a pretty sick burn for Shannon. I feel like you have to give Shannon the little victories where you can get them.
Hey, guys, is it me? Like, you guys were so good last week. You guys got along. You took advantage of me not being here to have, like, anime hour, which, you know, was entertaining, but... God damn, it was boring as hell to me. No offense. I mean, I thought I was entertained through all of it. I just had no idea what the hell you guys were talking about.
Well, but, you know,
like, I come back and you're just right at each other's throats. Is it me? Like, am I the cause?
I think it was when, you know, I yelled at Shannon that yes, we could hear him for like the third time, and I think he took offense to it, and now he's just born for blood.
No, it wasn't that at all. I think it was just last week, like, you know, Justin and I realized that we couldn't just dig at each other for an hour as much as people would like that. I think it would get a little boring after a while, so we just decided to put our small battle aside to put together a quality episode. And now that you're back, there's a buffer between us and we can just pepper each other.
Ah, I see. So that was a long way of saying, yes, it is my fault. So I appreciate it. So Justin, regale me of tales of Nine Toes. What's happening over here?
All right. So I don't remember if I told you that, but like a while back, I, you know, did a staycation over in Scottsdale and stuff at this like fancy like resort place. And when I went, me and my buddy Matt got massages and stuff, and then we went into the sauna afterwards. Shannon, I see you laughing. Gosh, knock it off.
Sorry. I'm just saying I've taken many vacations with good friends of mine, like real, some of the best friends of mine. At no point have I ever said, hey, let's go grab massages.
Well, we weren't like in the same room. We just got them at the same time, but...
I mean, okay, so you weren't like in the same room getting massages?
No, we were in different rooms. It's just our appointments were at the same time, so we just like went together.
They got a couple of massage and both of their significant others backed out.
When he first dropped that, that's right where my mind went, was like, oh, you guys got a couple's massage. That's weird.
I mean, you know, I was down for it, but the one that I got was nicer than the one that they were offering in the couple's massage.
Just staring there, like making eye contact with his buddy and his boxers getting rubbed down. Central music.
Dude, not even. And I'm like, dude, drop them chonies, boy. but no. We went into the sauna though, and you know, it's steamy as fuck, and there was some dude in there, and even though I had my glasses on, it was like instantly fogged up, so I couldn't see shit. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that like there was stone seating, and that's like where the one old dude or whatever was sitting in there, but I didn't realize there was a second level of stone seating. And so I'm walking, and I thought that, okay, well, that's where the chair is. And I didn't realize that there was, like, another, like, 14 inches of solid cement in front of that. So I walked, and my foot went full speed into the cement, and it went toenail first. My toe didn't even make contact. My toenail made contact first. And so, yeah, I just went full force on it. And I was, like, after we got out of the sauna, I, like, pushed down on the nail, and you can see, like, blood under it and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, I'm going to lose this nail. And it's just been a long time, like, ever since that, since that was, like, last year. Like, it's just been, like, the nail's dead. It's just kind of been, like...
And then the other one starts growing under it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened. It's, like, was hanging two-thirds of the way on, and then yesterday when I took my shower, I mean, it was so lifted on the right side that I could literally peek under my toe and stuff. So I was like, well, I might as well just peel this bitch back. And so I did, but it sucks because it was still connected on the left side. So I had to take nail cutters and just trim it as far... like off as I could, since I couldn't just disattach that part.
So do you cut your toenails on a regular basis, or I mean, what well, kind of yes, what kind of hobbit style, like, gnarly ass toes you got going on there?
I cut my nails all the time. It's just the nail was like slight, just ever so slightly, like, you know, off of the toe to where it made contact before my actual toe.
I've actually done this before. I want to say I was like 12 or 13 or something like that. And I was making the real smart move of skateboarding with no shoes on.
Ooh.
And we were just cruising around my buddy's apartment complex. And one of the wheels caught in some like random little pothole that I didn't even notice. And I went flying off and went foot first into the curb.
Hey.
And that toenail lasted about 2 weeks, and then I was playing soccer and kicked a ball and, like, felt it just off in my shoe. And I'm like, oh, all right, that's a bummer. Yeah, so at least it's one of those things where, like, it hurts initially, but it doesn't, like, hurt once the toenail comes off. If anything, it feels better because the pressure's gone, you know?
Mm.
But, yeah, that's a bummer. So I missed last week due to a sometime after Christmas, probably the day after or 2 days after, I was eating and got that feeling like something, like you get like a popcorn kernel stuck under your teeth, like between your teeth and gum type thing, and was like, oh, that sucks, and couldn't get it out. Finally, got like, I was like, all right, we're going hardcore on this. Got like the, you know, electric toothbrush out and the floss and stuff. I'm like, I'm getting this shit. And was working on it. And then half the tooth came off. The inside half of that tooth just like came out of my face. And I was like, oh, that's real unfortunate. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's. So there's no appointments available with any dentist. Finally got in to see one. And they're like, oh, so you cracked your tooth basically all the way up into your gums, like the whole part of the tooth. And then because you worked on it so much, it just like broke off chunks as you were like trying to like clean it. And now we've got no choice but to just pull this tooth out. There's nothing to fix anymore. Like, you've basically ruined your tooth. And I was like, oh, that's fucking wonderful. So, but then I had to wait another week. So last Friday, I finally went to go get the tooth out, which was good and infected by that point. Like, they had given me antibiotics and stuff to keep that at bay. But I mean, I'm sure it would have been 10 times worse, but it was proper fucked. And got the tooth out. And then the whole right side of my face just blew up like a fucking balloon. So it was a fun weekend. It was good. It was a lot of ice, sitting around with a bunch of ice on my face for a while.
You know? Look, you know, I want to tell you some of the best interactions I've had with people have been on painkillers. So, you know, your podcasting last week might have been choice if you decided to.
See, that's the fun thing is they don't give you that shit anymore. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, like, 10 years ago, they'd be like, hey, man, have 100 oxys and call it a day. Like, knock yourself out, kid. Like, I'm getting paid every time I hand these out. Like, just, you know, I'm handing them out like candy. Have some Vicodin. You knock yourself out. Nowadays, it's like, so we're going to give you Tylenol and Advil. And you're like, bitch, I have that stuff. Like, what do you think I've been taking? Like, come on. Like, I'm like, can I get anything else? And they're like, no.
You're like, man, if I had just gone home and drank a bottle of Jack, this thing wouldn't have been infected at all.
And I'm sitting there like, you're wondering why people have heroin problems? Because let me tell you, 3 days into this tooth, like, killing my face, if someone was like, hey, I got something that'll take that pain away, I'd be like, I'm listening, you know? Like, but, yeah, so that was a rough weekend. That was not good times. But thankfully, we're back. I minus one tooth, but I'm back to fighting shape.
Nice. So. I like it. Good to have you back, sir. Yep.
Thank you.
You're like, so, looking at your tooth in your hand, and you're like, this is what 40 is. Like, it's all downhill from here. Like, parts of my body are falling out of my face.
It's like, oh, you just literally fall apart. That's wonderful. Yes. Okay. And then, I have no beard anymore. And that was because my daughter essentially called me out. My daughter's 3, and she said, I don't like you kissing me anymore because your beard hurts me. And I was like, well, now that you just, like, took my heart out of my chest and threw it in a fire, I guess I'll go shave my beard. So we'll see how long this lasts. But
I was doing, you know, the brotherly thing. My sister, she had to work, so she was like, I have nobody to watch, you know, my son, can you do it? I said, yeah, you know what? Great. Dude, first of all, like, I don't know how anybody with 2 kids does it. Cause like 2 3-year-olds, they murdered me like all day. And, you know, we're over at my girlfriend's house, and like, she's got a big living room and she's got 2 couches. And for Christmas, my son got this huge, like, roll out piano that like you can run on the floor, like in big, like, you know, and it's gigantic. Mm-hmm. And so they were running back and forth on that, and they were jumping on the couches. My son or my nephew is just like, oh, watch this sick jump I can do. And he like jumps off of the couch, like maybe halfway into the piano, and like lands flawlessly and like gets up and like runs across to the other side of the room. And I was like, that was awesome, dude. And he was like, yeah, he's like, I bet you can't do that because you're old. And I was like, dude, you know, and as I'm grunting to sit up in the chair, like, you're right. Like, I hate you. I can't do that without my shoes that support my fat ass. Right,
yeah. Jumping off the couch. You're like, wait, dude. I need my Dr. Scholl's arch supports before I do this.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It's like, I saw a like relatable Twitter post about that the other day, where someone was at the grocery store and like they got like ID'd or whatever, and they're like, oh, they're like, here you go back. It's good. They're like, I can tell by the 1-9 or whatever in your year that you're over 21. I was like, oof.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So your birth year begins. Your birth year begins with a 1. You're good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just
kick me right in the gut. Why don't you? Jeez.
Yeah, like, you know, the kids that are able to drink now, I was like, I was 21 when they were when they were born. I was like, oh shit. Oh, damn.
Oh, you're like, oh shit. Oh, shit.
Oh. that meme from Saving Private Ryan, where he's at the graveyard and he goes from being the young to the old him, like in that, like, you know, time phase. I feel the same way every time something slaps me in the face with nostalgia or time.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know what high school has in common with Hail to the Thief from Radiohead?
No, what?
High school seniors in Hail to the Thief both came out in 2003. So have fun with that.
Fuck. Yeah. Man, dude.
What? Well, that was 24.
I'm gonna go
off.
Mute it and cry.
Well, speaking of things coming back from years gone by, Could I interest either one of you in a sequel to 1999's, that's 22 years ago if we're doing the math right, Pokemon Snap?
No.
It got announced. It's coming out April 30th.
Look at that smile on Justin's face. Dude, Justin is so excited. I think he peed his pants. Dude,
I'm actually in with Justin on this. Justin, right?
Yeah, dude. So my thing was like, for the longest time, again, it came down to like, I was like so surprised with the 3DS and gyroscope and stuff. I'm like, why have we not gotten like a new Pokemon Snap? Or with the Wii U, like when the Wii U was out and you had the giant fucking controller with the screen on it. I'm like, this screams Pokemon Snap. Like, Nintendo, like, what are you doing? And then when it was announced, you know, forever ago, well, not forever ago, but a while back, or when they announced it, like last Pokemon Day or whatever, that they were working on a new Pokemon Snap, I was super excited. And then Bugsnax came out, and that was like, oh man, I was like, this is like Pokemon Snap plus, and it's slightly dark and stuff, so it was like everything I kind of wanted. So then now that they're actually making a sequel to Pokemon Snap, I'm like, man, dude, like, I actually want like this to be really good.
You're like, I want it to be this dystopian tale like Bugsnax. Like, come on, give me something horrible.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't want it to be dark, but it's like, you know, you go back and you play the first one, it's really short. Like, I mean, as a kid, it seems a lot longer, but like as an adult, you can blow. So it's like, I kind of want like a little more like challenge and stuff, like more levels. I mean, there's so many more Pokemon now
exactly.
that exist that weren't around when it first came out. So the potential is like sky high for it.
No,
why is Shannon not on board?
The thing is, I don't think Shannon ever played the first one. And yeah, the first one is a game that on the surface looks like total bullshit. Like, I will give you that. But if you play it, it's actually pretty deep. Like, there's a bunch of good little mechanics in it, and it's fun. Like, it's just a fun, cool little game.
You know, I like the aspects, but at the same time, it just doesn't seem like a game for me. It seems boring. To me, like, I want a little bit more action, and I don't know if flying around and taking pictures or like, you know, kind of like sitting for the good shot is something that I want to do.
I mean, that's fair. Like, it doesn't have, you know, like a battle system in it or anything like that, or say like a crazy repetitive battle system that you're going to do for 186 hours while you collect swords. I mean, it doesn't have any of that. So I can see why you wouldn't want it. But
so like, this is what I want. I want a Pokemon game that is kind of in a Final Fantasy setting. So you don't always have, other than the Pokemon running away, I want the Pokemon to like attack you as the trainer. So you have like a battle mechanic where like you're fighting them, not like with, I mean, you can use Pokemons as like summons, but you also have like your own skill set that you're trying to capture these people with, kind of like a Monster Hunter-esque type feel, but more in a Pokemon world. I think that would excite me. But I had no problems with the Sword and Shield that came out. That was a fun iteration. I just don't know if this is the type of game for me. Like, I still haven't even gotten Bugsnax because you guys were telling me about just the whole like sitting in the nature and like taking pictures and trying to figure out how to catch these things. A lot of, you know, I'm getting to that point where those games will intrigue me for a little bit, but if there's nothing more than those mechanics on the back end, I think I'm going to get tired. Like, I'm even starting to get tired with Immortals Phoenix Rising. Just because I'm on the last island and that stuff is just not, it's not as rewarding anymore.
You know what Immortals is telling me personally is I think it's time for me to stop playing Ubisoft open world games for like a year or two, because after Assassin's Creed, Odyssey, then Valhalla, now Immortals, it's just one of those, like, I'm sick of. It's a reason why I never really played Ghost of Tsushima. It's like, I'm sick of the, like, oh, here's the next piece of the map. Now go get all the icons. Here's the next piece of the map. And, like, I like Immortals. Immortals is a better game than Valhalla in my mind. But I'm just sick of that format, you know? So I get that. That makes sense.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you guys are hyped for it. Good for you.
I think And it's one of those things, like, for me, I can see my kids loving the stand game. You know, I really can, so.
Well, and it's, like, nice, too, because it's, like, I think that was kind of, like, the appeal with, like, Pokemon, like, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee and stuff, too, mm-hmm. is that, mm-hmm. like, it's the, like, entry level into it. It's so low, and it's just really chill. Like, you don't really have to think. You don't really just kind of run around and do whatever. And that's what, you know, at night when I'm, like, winding down for bed, it's like, I don't want to play fucking Dark Souls. Like, I don't want to get, like, all fucking totally. Hyped up or pissed off. Like, I want to, like, play something that's, like, chill or just, like, fuck around. It's like, with Pokemon Snap, like, I can totally play that in bed. Like, I'm not going to get angry. Like, I'm not going to fucking mm-hmm. throw my Switch. Like, I can, like, pick a couple pictures, like, pick some good ones, and then go to bed.
You're not sitting there trying to get all the shines.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, things like that. But Nintendo had another announcement this week, which I know Justin was probably super hyped for. Shannon probably didn't watch the trailer, but he should because it's rad. And that is the Bowser's Fury announcement and trailer. Bowser's Fury coming out confirmed February 12th. Which actually was that known before? Because that seemed sooner than I thought it was going to come out. But
no, maybe it was known because it's attached to Mario 3D World, right? The new Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
They like announced it when they announced that they were bringing 3D World to Switch, but this was the first time that we actually saw anything about it.
And apparently, in Bowser's Fury, you need to be. You kind of are Mario in the cat suit going from island to island. You need to collect things to become basically what's it called in Pokemon when you become supersized?
Like Gigamax.
Yeah, Gigamax. You need to become Gigamax Cat Mario to battle Bowser. And I saw a parody of the trailer where someone made it all Dragon Ball Z, which I thought was really hilarious. Crazy huge Bowser looks badass. Like, that was one of the coolest looking Bowsers maybe ever, you know?
I saw a lot of screenshots of it on Twitter, and I was just like, that looks pretty cool. I think.
Yeah, the fact that that's, like, you know, official Nintendo art is bonkers. Like, that's some, like, deviant art shit from, like, 2012.
I am here for crazy kaiju Bowser, you know? Like, give me that stuff. But yeah, Mario in the cat suit never... is not funny to me. So,
and why is it gotta be yellow though?
Why not?
No, make it like an actual cat color other than like piss yellow.
Are you never saying seen a cat? Yeah, are cats not yellow where you live, Shannon?
Yeah, you've never seen a yellow cat? Like, come on, man.
No, I don't think so.
I'm gonna start. Texting Shannon pictures of yellow cats.
Bring it on, dude. Like, fill the Discord channel with yellow cats.
Yeah, apparently. I was like, if you're listening now, please Google yellow cat. Find one of the first pictures you can find on Google and add it into the Discord.
Lions don't count. Like, I don't want a lion. You know, I want a domestic house cat. I want to see a yellow domestic house cat.
you're like actual cats don't count, but you know.
Shut up.
But no, I can see myself getting this one. Like I said before, I played the 3DS Super Mario 3D Land, which I really liked, and everyone tells me World is better and one of the best ones, and I never played it because I never had a Wii U. So this is one of the rare times when I'm actually excited to get a Wii U game. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I've never played any of the Mario 3D World, so this will be a fun excursion for me.
They're pretty rad. They're pretty.
So you're actually gonna get it, Shannon?
Yeah, dude. Like, this is one of the games I'm actually excited for, and probably one of the ones I'm gonna purchase for the Switch next after Immortals. Like, I haven't thought about buying any new games until February.
Well, and there really aren't anything to buy, you know, really out there right now. It's like, I mean, nothing. There's some indie game releasing and stuff like that, but there's been nothing that's grabbed my attention. Like, oh, I have to pick that up. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Outside of, you know, Monster Train, now Game Pass, thanks to Mike Miller, let us all know that. So, get you some Monster Train. Shannon, did you download that yet?
Yes, I did.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, are we going to go into that now?
Oh, no. We can save it, I guess. But it's
all right.
Okay, so then next week on the 21st, because nothing else is happening on the 21st, that Capcom thought it'd be a great time to have a reveal event for Resident Evil Village. And there was a new trailer that got launched last week, and it had a kind of a Deathly Hallows Part 1 like cartoon in the middle of it, of like, yeah, this woman's telling a tale from the land, and it has like an animated different animation sequence in the middle, like showing the what she's talking about. And it just, that game just keeps looking cooler and cooler to me. It's one of those, like, it's definitely going to be witches. There seems to be zombies. There seems to be werewolves. There seems to be vampires. And the scariest thing of all, against most gaming audiences, a very tall, confident woman. It seems to be terrifying many people. I can't be hyped enough for this. Like, I was teetering with restarting 7, but then I fell asleep. But it's been on my mind for a while to restart 7 with 8 coming on our heels here. But I'm super down for more Resident Evil. I know Shannon is going to be a little baby about it, but Justin.
Dude, I've been about 8 since I saw the initial trailer, and the more I see of it, I'm like, man, I just want this now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's gotten to the hype point where every time I see more about this game, it's just like, yep, yes. Like, I haven't hit one thing in any of these reveal trailers where I'm like, ooh, I don't know about that. You know, like, oh, that seems bad. Nah, man, I'm so hyped for Resident Evil 8. So that's happening next week. I'm hoping we get a release date and we get, you know, specs and all that stuff. There's rumors out there.
When do you think it's going to come out?
My hope is that, like, April window. You know, because that's usually when they drop, is between February and April. And if it was going to be February, I think we would know already.
Yeah, I was thinking like in the March, like March, like 20 something or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's around that time. But there is also a vicious rumor out there that it might be PS5 and Xbox Series X only. So cutting out the older consoles, which I hope isn't the case, but at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time, after Cyberpunk, it's like, maybe that's a better way to go.
Well, I was just about to say, with Cyberpunk, I could see a lot of these companies being like, ooh, that's just not worth the risk at all. Let's just go ahead and cut that SKU and move forward and call it a day. You know, like, it really wouldn't surprise me if a lot more companies took that tack going forward. But, yeah, man, I know we've talked about it before, but the cupboards are kind of bare on games coming out that I'm hyped for. So I'm hoping RE8 hits and hits well, because damn, I love those games.
Yeah, like, what happened like this year? Like, I understand, geez, like,
what happened?
I'll just Google that real quick.
I mean, I know the. I mean, like, holy people shit. Can work from home on this year, right? I mean,
kind of. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you came to a point. Like, you're on some level, there's going to be horsepower that you just don't have at home. And then there's things where it's like, you know, sure, you can all have Zoom meetings to discuss stuff, but it's not the same as when people are all in the same room. And then, okay, we're gonna have breakouts, and you guys go over here and talk about it, and come back, and, you know, like. It's all the time, the meeting time that you don't get, people not watching this, I was doing air quotes, that you don't get when it's like, oh, I'm going to get coffee and Shannon's in the break room, and like, oh, what are you working on? I'm working on this. Oh, well, I have a thought about this and that mirror thing. Oh, that's a good idea. And it's like, okay, great. And, you know, it's all those little pieces that you don't get when everyone's working at home that stack up. You know, it's all those little things. And so you have what you get is everyone working at home. It all gets compiled. And then a team needs to figure out, okay, does this suck or not? And if it does, it all gets broken back out, you know, and it has to all come back together. It's just, there's a lot, I think there's just a lot more bandwidth issues, you know, in that.
Yeah, but, makes sense.
I mean, that's also just a guess of mine. I don't know. I'm not working in the industry, but that would make a lot of sense to me. And plus, you know, when everyone's working from home, you can't crunch them to death. So.
You can try.
Sure can try, but it's a lot harder when people aren't trapped in your office building. And you're like, no, you don't need to go see that doctor. We got doctors here. No, you don't need to get food. We got food here. You know, like, it's just all that goes out the window, too.
Hook them up to an IV bag with vitamins and they're like, you're fine.
Yeah, we got nurses here. Don't worry about it. Yeah, keep him awake for the next 36 hours. Finish his level. But yeah, I guess that's kind of all the news I've got so far this week. I mean, anything else jump out at you guys that you want to discuss?
No, man. It's just the beginning of the year. The world is falling apart. Everybody's waiting to see if the zombie apocalypse is going to happen because of this vaccine. Like, you know, everybody's just on hold right now. There's not a lot of...
So it's the same shit from 2020 is what you're telling me.
And pretty much.
Well, one piece of good news was Godzilla vs. Kong got bumped up to March 26th from May 21st on HBO Max.
Did.
Which, well, that's
cool.
I mean, I think it is. Sorry, you don't, Shannon. Jeez.
I don't know. Like, after the we'll get into it in a little bit, but after the last HBO Max movie that came out, like, you know, from theaters, I'm a little gun shy. Pardon me for, you know, being a little hesitant.
Have you seen King of the Monsters or Skull Island, the last Godzilla and King Kong movies, respectively?
No.
I appreciate how both of them have embraced the basic campiness of both titles, but like made them super rad to watch. Like both those movies are not great, but they're hella fun. Like, they're like stupid fun movies. Godzilla gets a little too serious for its own good, but Skull Island is freaking rad. And it's one of those games, like, while I was watching it, I'm like, how is this not a whole series of video games? Like, so, this is like, it's like watching a video game series.
So the most recent Godzilla one, that's the one where there's a whole bunch of other monsters wreaking havoc on Earth, and they're like, okay, we need to bring back Godzilla to wreck shop on all these guys.
Exactly.
Okay. And then the Skull Island, that's the John Goodman one? Is John Goodman in that one?
No. That was no. Maybe? I don't even remember. That's the one that has like dinosaurs. And stuff. They go to the island, like the whole military team goes to the King Kong Island and tries to, you know, for capturing and all this stuff, and they realize, like, holy shit, this whole island's overrun with giant monsters, and they need King Kong to wreck shop. It's kind of the same movie, to be honest. But awesome. But it's just rad. Like, you know, they have V Rexes instead of T Rexes and like dumb shit like that, but it's cool. I kind of want to watch both of them again because I wish my son was just a little older. Like, if he was like 10 to 12, I'd be like, you know what? You're probably all right to watch this with me. Let's do it, you know? But like, as it is, I have to find time to watch them by myself because there's no way in hell my wife's watching that shit, you know? And it's like, and my son's just a little too young where I think, like, oh, this would be nightmare fuel for months if I showed this to you now. So, yeah, finding 2 to 3 hours by myself is damn near impossible. So we'll see now, if I ever get
there. Where would you find these movies? Are they on Netflix or Hulu?
I think Skull Island is on Netflix. And I know Godzilla's on HBO Max.
Okay.
But I think Skull Island's on Netflix. Yeah, I can double check that.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll definitely have to give those a try, and I'll just be watching them on an iPad because I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah. So Hulu has Skull Island and HBO Max. So
sweet.
And so since we're talking about HBO Max, guys, can we have a quick roundtable discussion about Wonder Woman 84?
Oh, yeah.
Because goddamn, that movie. So to be transparent, both of you told me independently and together that this movie sucks and I should not watch it and just stay away from it. That's not to say I don't believe you guys and don't value your opinions, but I enjoyed the first one so much. Like, I really loved the first Wonder Woman. And
everybody did.
And I was like, you know, maybe it's an overreaction. Maybe it's just not to say it was a good movie, but it can't possibly be what they're saying it is. I'm sure. Let me just go in with an open mind, knowing it's probably going to be bad. But, like, I bet it's still enjoyable, you know? The first one is great. How much worse could it be? Same director, same actors. Like, let's go. I want to apologize because you both were very right. And, So let's, before we begin, let it be known that all spoilers are going to be on the table. So go ahead and just jump past this if you do not want Wonder Woman 84 spoiled any more than they're going to do by themselves when you watch it. But I don't even know where to begin with how bad it is. Let me talk about this. The name is Wonder Woman 84, right? I was born in 1979. I lived through the goddamn 1980s. That decade was nowhere near as 80s as this movie was. Like, I've never seen something so aggressively 80s. I was complaining on Twitter about it, and Steve Whittacomb, a.k.a. Mr. Alarm, chimed in with what I thought was the best summation. He was like, this was a Geico television commercial version of the 1980s. And I was like, that, bravo. Yes, you nailed it. Like, right there. That's what it was. I mean, it killed me. Like, every time the scene turned to something, it's like, hey, breakdancing? Breakdancing? Oh, fanny packs? You guys remember fanny packs? Like,
big oversized cell phone?
Yeah, totally. Like, oh my god. It was just, it was rough. It was really rough.
Not enough shoulder pads, though, in my.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and that's my other problem, is it's so aggressively 80s, but Gal Gadot's fashion throughout the whole movie, like, could have just walked out of a store today throughout the whole movie. Like, there was never at no point was she wearing something where you're like, whew, got that, what was that fucking hypercolor shirt on, huh? You know, like, or anything like that. Like, nothing. It was just, it's like they weren't going to do it to the star. Just everyone else had to suffer throughout that goddamn movie. So can we start with the horrible setup, which is the wish stone, and everything that entails. Mandalorian being one of the worst overacting villains I can remember in a long, long time. They go to Cairo for like 40 fucking minutes. And you could lop that entire sequence out of the movie and nothing fucking happens. Like, seriously, if you go in and edit the Cairo sequence out of the movie does not change, except you enjoy it better because it's now 2 hours, not 2 hours and 40 fucking minutes. You know, like, it's like,
how many times did you stop the movie to see how much more movie you had left?
No, I didn't. I wasn't doing that to myself. I wasn't going to do it.
I paused it at one point to go to the bathroom, and I was just like, when I saw it was like in the middle, I was like, holy shit, like, is this right? Like, that it still says there's an hour and a half left for this.
It's like the Cairo sequence exists for two reasons. One, they have to get you the invisible jet set up. So there needs to be a reason why they're in a jet, which, by the way, the Smithsonian just keeps fueled fucking war jets on their property. Like, full tanks, able to go transatlantic with it, apparently. Oh, and back, because they weren't getting fuel over there. So unless, you know, another one of her unspoken wishes was and unlimited gas. I don't know. Like, and then the tank fighting sequence, which I guess was supposed to be their like no man's land in this one, except it was total bullshit, like for no reason. But yeah, that's like the only reason it exists. Like the plot setup doesn't mean anything in that movie. Okay, so they get in the jet. Fuel concerns aside, why is it then 5 minutes of flying through fireworks? Like that goes for fucking ever.
Which isn't that dangerous too?
Yeah. And also, like, we've all been to 4th of July celebrations. Even the ones when I was a little kid, when people still liked America and went big on it, it was never that many fireworks. Ever. Ever. And I'm talking major cities. I mean, sure, I haven't been to Washington, D.C. Maybe they just go ham and always have with fireworks. I don't know. But there's never been just the constant stream of a plane that flies 300 miles an hour can fly for 5 straight minutes through something. It's like it's cruising by at like 2 miles an hour. Just do. No, like, it's a fucking fighter jet. By the way, those move really fast. Like, oh, it just kills me. All right, you guys talk for a second. I feel like I'm burning myself out here.
I think one of my biggest gripes, aside from the special effects just being garbage, especially in that whole tank sequence, like, you know, it didn't, I don't feel it was done well. Something was off with her running, with like the speed she was running at, with like whole, like how everything was coming into range. It just didn't jive well. A lot of the special effects when she was wrestling with the tank or wrestling with the cars or, you know, doing any type of jumping around those, it just all seemed too forced, and it didn't, like, to Justin's point, you could tell there was a lot of string work. There was a lot of trapeze like work there, and they didn't do a lot to smooth out those jumps and those key points. Also, one of my biggest problems with the movie is she wishes for him to come back, and then his soul takes over.
Does she? She never actually says it.
Well, it's implied. Like, right?
Guess what? Everyone else has to do through the entire fucking movie, verbalize the wish. Every single person in throughout the movie
has to
say it out loud. She holds a stone and goes, oh, I know what I'd wish for. And that's all she has to do. Why? Like, that makes no fucking sense. Like, anyway, sorry.
Well, it's fine. That's a whole nother issue. But, like, also, his soul robs somebody else's body. So, like, he basically just knocks this other dude's soul into, like, limbo. Does he become a cat? Like, where does this dude go where his soul is in this other guy's body, and she's like okay with it. She's like, yep, like I'm gonna roll with this, like let's have fun, let's, like, you know, let's go spend a night in a hotel and test ride, or like, you know, test out this new body of yours. You know, she has no qualms whatsoever with this dude dying so her ex can, or her boyfriend can come back to life. But that was one of my biggest, like, oh, okay, I guess all of your morals are just going to go out the window. This person talking about like hard life choices, and then, you know, somebody dies so that your boyfriend can come back and you're just okay with it. Like, no other circumstance do you have this problem. Yeah. And it's always a big name actor wearing glasses who's nerdy as hell is going to be like the villain, is going to be the superhero that turns into, or supervillain, that's glasses come off, they turn into this badass like jock who beats up everybody, and they don't learn a lesson about humility or anything like that. It's just, yep, I'm this person now, and I'm just gonna roll over everybody. It's just a trope that's happened in so many superhero movies that you roll your eyes every time it happens. Those were two big things that you know, stood out to me. How about you, Justin? Like, what other monikers did bug you about the movie?
So, yeah, you know, there was the CGI, of course, forcing her, like, the way they forced, like, the boyfriend back and stuff. I was like, really? Like, I was like, that was so fucking stupid. And then the CGI for not only the running, but, yeah, for Cheetah at the end was so questionable.
Oh, yeah.
At best half the time. And, like, two of my biggest complaints was, well, what, for one, like Shannon was talking before, like, when I initially, when you start the movie and you're watching that first 10 minutes, I was actually praising the movie for, like, when it has, like, the Amazonians doing, like, the flips and stuff all over when they're doing, like, their little, like, mm-hmm. Olympic game sort of thing. And I actually said, was talking to Megan about how good it was compared to Mulan, because that was my biggest complaint about Mulan, was how everyone, like, her jumping and stuff was very obvious that she was attached to, like, wires and stuff, and her movement was very stiff a lot of times as she's, like, flying through the air and stuff, and I was like, see, this is how it should be done. And then after that 10 minutes, it's like, you never see that again, and it's the same stiff, like, wire movement, like, shit, and I was like, did two different people, like, did one person, like, do this scene, and then they just gave the rest of the movie to somebody else to do? Like, did they use all the budget for, like, their, like, stunts and whatever in that first 10 minutes, and then they were just like, all right, we have $4.27 to make it work for the next 2 hours and 20 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And, yeah, the length was so long. I did not like how long it was. It was fucking stupid. And my other big complaint about it was, like, so I get that the wishes have consequences. Like, he wished to become the stone. He did. And then for every wish he makes, it's, like, killing him. Like, okay, I get it. She wished to be like Diana. She became, like, a god, essentially. And her negative effect was, what, that she became a bigger bitch? Like the negative effect. Right? Yeah, where she brought her boyfriend back, didn't even get her actual boyfriend, just his soul in someone's body, and like, lost her powers. Like, I'm like, where's, like, the equivalent exchange, like, rate for any of this? Like the negative effects for the positive effects made no sense. And then the fact that, like you said, everyone had to make a wish verbally out loud and touch him. Like, there was rules that they established throughout the movie of how his power worked. And then at the end, they were like, fuck it, he's just going to go on TV and everyone's going to make wishes and no one's touching him, no one's doing anything, but they're working. And he's going to wish for, like, their health, and he's going to become, like, a god, effectively. And I'm like, where was any of this? He didn't have to do that at all at the beginning. It's like they were just like, all right, we don't really know how to end it, so this is, like, the best thing we could come up with.
And her speech at the end was just painful.
Well, yeah, and the whole fact that it's like he literally gave, like, all of it up for his son, who's just randomly, like, out in the street, like, Papa. And I'm like, why don't you just have someone wish that your kid's safe?
Yeah.
Like, or, how hard would that have been? Or
I grant your wish, and to pay for that, you have to go get my son now. You know, like, or something. Like, yeah.
Like, that made no, and he just, like, ran, like, he's like, no, and just leaves, like, the paper just, like, leaves her there. I was like, what? Like, what?
Like, that's well, really well, I'll tell you, it's okay, because when you get through 2 hours and fucking 30 minutes of this movie, nothing mattered. Nothing. What happens to Wishstone Dude? Apparently nothing. Like, he almost caused a nuclear holocaust, but you know what? He's telling his kid he's going to try to be a better person, so I guess he's fine. Hey, Cheetah. Oh, she appears to be human again. She getting off that island? Because last time I checked, everyone that had a way to get off the island left. So, she's still there? Is she going to jail? Is she in some raft-type prison? Who the fuck knows? Apparently she's fine. I don't know. But hey, here's 10 minutes of Gal Gadot and the dude she was having sex with, whose brother, whose boyfriend's soul was in, talking in the snow because it's pretty. Yeah, that's a great ending. What the fuck was that ending? Like, what was that? Like, zero consequence. And, like, also, to Justin's point, it's setting up all these rules throughout the whole time. But when all the wishes go away, it appears that, like, most of the effects are still there. You know, like, it's just one of those, like, oh, the warheads are going away, so I guess we'll all stand down. But, like, everyone's still, like, time didn't roll back. You know, like, people still have their memories. It's like, no, things are like still that, totally fucked. Like, it's just
like that one chick wished that one dude dropped dead. I'm like, did he just, like, get up off the floor, like, brush himself off and go to work?
And the thing is they set that up. They set it up for, like, that person to just stand up or whatever, but they never do. So it's like, well, is that person still dead? I don't know. Like, it's just it's one of those, like, oh my God. It was just like, yeah, but thank you for giving me 5 minutes of throwing fucking fireworks so I can't see how the movie resolves in any way. And to your point about the special effects, two things. You know you're in bad shape when, to Justin's point, the best special effects in the movie are the arena scene at the beginning, but that person, 30 seconds into the movie, that is swinging from a long whip or something into the arena, is one of the worst looking pieces of CGI I've ever seen. Like, it was one of those that happens and I'm like, oh no, oh God, this is a $200 million movie and that's the CGI we're talking about. Whoo, this is going to suck. And then, sorry, let's just step back for a second. And I'm not going to get into the Wonder Woman can fly shit. Because, A, no, she fucking can't, unless she has Hermes shoes. And guess who isn't in this fucking movie? Hermes. All right? So, I guess because she just wanted to like the wind real hard, she can fly now. Why have the armor? Why is the armor in the fucking movie? You know, the armor with fucking wings? That would have made a lot more sense if she would have been like, oh, I need to learn how to love to fly. Let me get the armor with fucking wings so I can fly. And then you can do that whole sequence in the armor. And it all makes all the sense. You won't have the badass scene where she uses the lasso to whip some lightning and pull herself forward. True. You lose that. But guess what you get? A point to have the fucking armor. You gain the point. Like,
she lands with that armor and you're like, okay, this fight's going to be awesome. Like, Cheetah kicks the crap out of that armor. Like, it does nothing for her other than obstruct her field of vision and block maybe like 16 punches. And then it falls apart and she's basically there with no armor.
Well, I mean, I was incredibly thankful for the armor since she mainly used it as the wings as a shield to block Cheetah from sight so I didn't have to fucking look at the awful CGI that was Cheetah for the next like 7 minutes as she's like sitting there like this and she just like and I'm just like, dude, what is this, some like Michael Myers as Cat in the Hat like fucking like bit going on right now?
And by the way, apparently you can't electrocute Wonder Woman. Like, what was that? Where she was like, I know we're both, you know, in underwater here, but let me just throw a live cable in this water and I'll be fine. And I'm like,
yeah,
like you, that doesn't bother you at all. Like, I mean, I'm not a big Wonder Woman comic guy. Maybe that shit doesn't. I don't know. But still, that seemed weird.
But my thing, though, too, is since her wish was to literally become like Diana, wouldn't it not affect her as well?
Yeah.
You would think, like, oh my God. I just had like. And the thing is, it's such an experience watching the movie because all of this is stacking up on itself. You know, like you're sitting there like, oh, that sucks. Oh, that's bullshit. And then by the time you get back from Cairo, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, am I just taking crazy pills? What the hell is this? Like, I don't know. That's probably the worst movie I've seen since Dungeons and Dragons. Like, straight up. Right? The Jeremy Irons Dungeons and Dragons movie, that's still worse, just because it's completely nonsensical. But this movie is a good second at this point.
Okay, like, so in the DC movie rankings that we did, where would this sit? Probably, I mean, like, would this be the worst?
It'd be close, just because of the time. It's so long. Like if this was this bad, but an hour and a half of my life, I'd be like, ah, that sucked. But I bet they needed to pad it out and maybe budget had them cut a bunch of stuff that would have made it make more sense or something. Mentally, I could explain it away more, you know. But all right, I mean,
so let me just tell you. So for DC, for Unwatchable, the order was Jonah Hex, Batman and Robin, Justice League, Catwoman, and Steel.
Okay, Steel still works. Justice.
I would honestly put it behind Justice League. I don't know if I'd put it in front of Catwoman, but that's also hard because it's like I would honestly probably rather watch. Like, if I had to sit through and trudge through, I'd rather trudge through a 90-minute movie than a 2.5 hour.
Catwoman's real bad though. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I can honestly say it was worse than Catwoman. I might put it at the front of this list because Jonah Hex is fucking horrible too. Like, and I don't want recency bias to like screw me on this, you know. But if you're asking me like, would you rather watch Jonah Hex or Wonder Woman 84? I don't know if I'd honestly say Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex is not bad. I mean, I think I don't know. Like, I might say Jonah Hex just because it's shorter, so I'd be done with it quicker.
Yeah. And like, I get what both of you were saying with that. That's a really good point.
And then at least like my thing too is at least with Jonah Hex and Catwoman and like the majority of the movies in the Unwatchable list, they have the. Well, you have to understand, like, superhero movies, like, weren't really a thing at that time. Sure. So, like, you hadn't really seen a good one. Wonder Woman doesn't have that excuse. Like, the first Wonder Woman was really good. So, it's great. Like, you don't have the, well, superhero movies didn't. I was like, dude, there's been fucking, like, 12 years of fucking Marvel movies. Like, you can't
say 12 years of, like, bangers, too, you know? And 12 years of DC failures, which you, guess what? You learned from in the first Wonder Woman. You did a good job. You basically made a Marvel movie in the first Wonder Woman. Like, congrats, you figured it out. And then you spent $200 million on this. Like, that's the thing that blows me away is the budget. It's like, and guess for her flying sequence, it was the same special effects as like Christopher Reeves in 1978 Superman. Hey, you lay down on this green screen and we're going to put clouds moving behind you. Like, that's, I mean, it was just awful.
Well, you know, they had to edit out the baby bump too because she was pregnant while she was shooting this movie. So, you know.
Which explains all the long, flowy dresses. But still, like, oh, man. Just, whew.
I mean, honestly, the most redeeming thing about the movie was the fact that it was free on HBO Max.
Oh, if I would have. And see, that's where Robbie was like, oh, but going to a theater, like, and seeing it, like, you know, the fight sequences in the theater and all that was really cool and like, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you were just excited to have been in a theater. For the
I think like, I would have kicked over the popcorn stand if I had paid to go see this movie in a theater and spent as much money as I did. I would be livid. I mean, you remember in the first movie that kick slide that she did that everybody was like, oh, that's so cool. She kick slid. And then like in this one, in the first 10 minutes of the movie, when they do that mall, when they do the second cold open of the movie, like she kick slides 6 times. I was like, do you do anything else other than slide from place to place and kick somebody in the shins? Like, come on, do something different here.
That's please. How you knew the movie took place in the 80s, though, was because of that mall scene.
Well,
malls existed.
And also I have a lot of problems with that too, because it's like, how did she know all four of those guys was in on it? It's like, sure, one dude pulls a gun, the other three dudes are on like different floors, you know, like they're out at this point, and she still like manages to get all of them. And it's like, how does she even know those other two guys are even involved? They're just screaming put the kid down like anyone would be. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand, but it just, yeah.
Yeah, and no offense, if I'm the one holding the bag and I know that Wonder Woman's there and she's preoccupied with somebody else, I'm bailing hard. Like, yeah, I am not staying around.
And by the way, but since we're talking about this sequence, I've blocked it from memory, but here it is back in my head. She drops the four of them. Okay, if I four human bodies, tie them together, and drop them from 10 feet onto, like, the regular ground, someone's getting really injured. Like, that's a lot of weight and bone and all that. She drops them hard enough to crush a car roof. Like, that's four dead individuals. Like, they are all fucking dead at that point. Like,
yeah, the one dude on the bottom is a pile of meat. Like, yeah, I mean, there's traumatic events for the other three people that are mangled corpses close to it.
Yeah, someone's leaking brain juice in someone else's mouth at that point.
Like, yeah, I saw that car crumble and I was like, they're not superheroes. They should not survive this.
Yeah. Like, if I drop you from a height far enough to crush a car roof, you're dead. Like, that's like you jumped off the Empire State Building velocity. Yeah, you know, like
I mean, in my line of work, they tell you if you fall from 6 feet, like that's like hitting the ground with the equivalent of like 3,000 pounds of force, like just if you fall flat on your back, like down. So if they're coming from like 10 feet, like they're probably hitting with like 30,000 pounds of force onto that roof of that car.
Yeah.
Like one person.
Yeah. Times four. Yeah. Totally.
They're not pretty. They're not pretty. They're all crippled for life or dead.
if they live. Yeah.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah. Oh, what a piece of shit. God damn that movie.
And my thing was like too with the fact I didn't understand like why it, like was even in the 80s, because it's like everything could have easily been like replaced by like anything. Yeah. And unless they were just trying to go for the cool, like, yeah, everyone loves the 80s. And I remember reading like someone said that they thought it was because like otherwise like Superman could have just stopped everything. And I was like, I guess that makes a little more sense since, you know, Batman versus Superman or whatever, like that, like time, like he wasn't really, I guess, Superman in that like Man of Steel kind of like area yet.
Oh, man.
And has Wonder Woman been working in the Smithsonian for like 50 years and like nobody's questioned her age or like how she stays young? Like
they're like. Diana, you look so good. And she's like, how's that Korean skincare, you know, routine that I do?
They're like, yeah, but it says here that you're 97 years old. Like, what?
Like, here's a picture of you shaking hands with the founder of the fucking museum who's been dead for 30 years.
Totally. Like, oh, man. I just, oof. Oh, oh, so annoyed. It's been a long time since I've been that disappointed in a movie. Like Spider-Man 3 is up there as far as like disappointment scale, you know, like, oh, we're getting Spider-Man, we're getting Venom. Sweet. This is going to kick ass. And you watch it and you're like, oh no, no, no. That's like a monkey paw wish. Like, oh, you want Venom in a movie? Sure. You know, but yeah, by the way, they're dropping a trailer for Let There Be Carnage, the next Venom movie this week, I guess. So hopefully that doesn't suck. I like Woody Harrelson as Cletus Cassidy. So we'll see if that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the movie I've wanted forever is Venom and Carnage. And I just hope it's better than the first Venom movie. And they learned.
I mean, if they just get Woody Harrelson to be his character from Natural Born Killers again, like that's perfect. Like just do that.
Yeah, but the special effects need to be there too. Like you gotta nail the special effects.
Yeah, but now Daddy Disney's in charge, so. Mm-hmm.
So Venom can fly now, and he has armor, and
Venom 84.
Yeah, Venom 84. That's gonna be my new secret of the use. When something just sucks, I'm gonna call it whatever it is 84. I'm not saying Secret of the Ooze was bad, Mike. Don't be mad at me. Sorry.
If we're going to talk about other movie news, can we talk about how awesome it is that Deadpool 3 is going to be in the Marvel Universe and what that might entail?
So do you think that's the movie that they use to get mutants in MCU?
I don't see how they couldn't. I mean, like, that's...
My question should be, do they introduce mutants before that movie comes out, do you think? Or is that going to be your first taste of mutants in MCU?
I think that's going to be the first taste of it.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. My thought was I was almost kind of thinking that, like, with Doctor Strange and in the Multiverse of Madness, they can do damn near anything. And, like, I just actually this week rewatched, like, a lot of the Marvel movies and stuff. And I was like, dude, I was like, it'd be so cool in, like, Multiverse of Madness because, like, they could, like, help introduce, like, the existence of Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. like, X-Men. They can, like, bring all of that almost, like, in at once, and it wouldn't be weird because multiple dimensions colliding, like, whatever, yeah. like, it can all happen. And I was like, dude, because I was thinking, I was like, dude, it'd be so cool if, like, they could somehow finagle Quicksilver back into mm-hmm. the Marvel Universe by, like, having him from an alternate dimension where he didn't die. Like, come yeah. back into existence, and it's, like, with, like, WandaVision and, like, stuff like that. I'm, like, you know, I'm, like, a lot of, you know, reality-altering stuff is happening in the Marvel Universe now and soon in the future, so I think it'd be really easy to just collide, like, the good parts of the Fox Universe into the Marvel Universe and call mm-hmm. it square.
No, that was my first thought, too, was Doctor Strange could be their opening to get all that stuff. You know, just like you said, multiverse. So it's going to be one of those like, oh, look, and the movie resolves. But like, here's the stinger that shows the Fantastic Four like still left behind or whatever, you know, like it's going to be one of those type of things.
Yeah. Or yeah. they're like, you know, something happens like, oh, like, you know, Reed Richards sent me and they're like, who the fuck is Reed Richards?
Yeah.
Totally. You don't know Mr. Fantastic is?
Now, you brought up WandaVision. Did you guys watch WandaVision?
I haven't yet.
I have also not watched it yet, but I'm sorry to disappoint,
but it was one of those weekends where every night when the kids finally went to bed, we're like, okay, let's watch WandaVision, and we were both asleep within 15 minutes, you know, so it was one of those.
Yeah, I'm really kind of curious to see what you guys think about it, because I watched it, and I have ideas about what's going on, but I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about, like, the comics or, like, Vision and Wanda to be able to, you know, come up with anything, mm-hmm. you know, of substance. So it'd be interesting to see what you guys think of it. Yeah. Because, like, I'm on board. Like, I want to watch it. I want to keep watching it. But at the same time, I'm trying to figure out what's happening. Like, where is this going?
Because that's kind of what I've heard. I'm definitely going to watch both episodes tomorrow. But I've kind of heard, that's what I've heard from people's kind of reviews and stuff that I know who have watched it and stuff. They said that it's like, you know, it's slower, like, mm-hmm. you know, but that like they're laying down the framework of like the mystery and stuff to like, for potentially like real crazy shit to hopefully happen like later on in it and stuff. So I'm definitely interested. I like that era that like Leave It to Beaver, like kind of Andy Griffith show, like era of sitcom and
sure.
stuff.
Yeah.
Honeymooners.
Yeah, it's weird though. Like you watch it and it does that whole like I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver, and then all of a sudden there's just like a hard left halfway or like three quarters of the way through the episode where something happens and you're just like, whoa, and then it snaps like right back into Leave It to Beaver or I Love Lucy, and you're just like, okay, like that, I know that means something, but what does it mean, you know?
Well, and so like I haven't watched it, but like in the comics and stuff, I know up until this point, like in the Marvel Universe for Wanda and stuff, their powers, I mean, they've made it like she can like levitate shit and throw shit and like whatever, make stuff, crush things. But in the comics, that's not really her power. Her power is to basically alter reality is her power. And in the comics, she basically accidentally, but she ends up killing Ant-Man and Hawkeye. And that's what causes the Avengers to disassemble in the comics. And then Tony Stark and them kind of get together and they're like, well, she's a danger not only to us, but herself. So we need to kill her so that she can't hurt anybody else. And she freaks the fuck out and basically changes all of reality to make it so that like mutants basically are like in control and exist. And that's what creates like the entire House of M event where like Magneto mm-hmm. is basically in charge. And like the people with powers who like go against them are basically like Luke Cage and like Immortal Iron Fist and stuff. They're all hiding like underground because like all like the bad mutants and shit are in charge of the world now.
And then also she goes through another comic arc where she eliminates all the mutants, because when Disney lost, or Disney bought Marvel but didn't have the rights to the Fox stuff, they wrote mutants out of comics essentially, which started the whole Inhuman thing. So she at one point goes, no more mutants, and all of a sudden the Marvel Universe drops from thousands of mutants to like 100 or something like that.
Interesting. Like, I, you know, the only thing I thought was that this was going to take place between the Endgame in Infinity War, where, you know, she sees Vision get axed and then she just has a mental break and then goes into this, like, you know, creates this alternate reality where they're still, you know, together and alive.
That's kind of, well, if that was my guess, was that this took place like after, you know, obviously he died or whatever, and this was like her altering reality of like them trying to live a life together.
Well, I mean, in the comics, at one point she wants to have children with Vision and can't, because Vision is an android, he's a synthetic being. So she literally wills twins into existence and and has babies. They're like kids, people can see him and all that, until people start to figure out that when she's not around, the kids aren't around. And it becomes one of those things like, oh, they only exist because of her, like literally, like, and when she goes away, they go away. And they have, it's this like huge storyline of like having to get her to like let the kids go because they're not real, you know, and all that. And that was my guess of what this is. It might be one of those things like, oh, Vision's back only when Wanda's there. But when she's not there, guess who's not there either? You know, like one of those type of things. So I'm curious to see what they do with it.
Good. Well, get on that so we can talk about it.
I had to get over the trauma of WW84, man. I had a swollen face. I was watching an awful movie. Like it was a rough week, dude. I'm sorry.
You just made it worse for yourself.
I know. And I felt really bad for my wife, because she was like, she loves the first Wonder Woman and was so hyped to watch this one. And it, like I said, we were 20 minutes in and it was just like, I look over and she's just like, oh no, this is so bad.
Yeah, I knew that. Like when me and Megan were watching, it's like 25, 30 minutes in, I look over, she's on her phone. And I was like, yep.
There it is.
I'm right there with you, man.
All right, well let's switch into a little what we've been playing. I'm further into Immortals. I've got I'm on the third island map piece. The thing I like that game does that is funny, because like the Assassin's Creed takes it out of your hands a little bit, and like other games have done things where they'll gatekeep a little bit, where it's like, oh no, you can't. You shouldn't fight these guys. Like, don't go over there. You're going to get your ass kicked. Like, you're way underleveled or whatever. It kind of doesn't do that. It's one of those, like, oh, you see, like, one of those shield golems and, like, a whole team of dudes guarding this thing, and you think you can take them? Have fun, man. And you'll get your ass handed to you, and you'll die, and they'll be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that. That was probably a mistake. And it was like, oh, well, thanks for telling me, asshole. You know, like, but I actually kind of like it, because sometimes you win those battles and they become really fun. Like you can get pretty close and then die and be like, okay, no, I know I need an attack potion, and I know I can use more health potions better, and I can do this. I can get through it. And like those moments in that game are really cool when you can pull them off, when you take out a group that you know you're not leveled for, but when you do it, you feel like you've actually done something, you know? My problem with the game, I'm enjoying it a lot, is like I said, it's just that it's the Ubisoft formula fatigue. Is really, it's not the game's fault at all, it's just, damn, I've played a lot of these kind of games, and so I'm kind of, Yep, let's climb the next big peak. Let's get the next part of the map clear. Oh, look, there's 50 more icons. I guess I'll go do all that shit. Oh, everyone's trying to fight me on my way to the next point. Okay, all right. You know, it's and there's nothing wrong with it. Like, I like the combat. I like the leveling up system. I enjoy all that part. Even then, fast travel takes a lot of the pain out of upgrading and all that stuff. But, man, it's long. I wish this game was more like 20 hours, not 80 or however many it feels like it's going to be. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've been playing this week. Monster Train, trying to beat it with the blue deck. I forget what that race is called, but like the fish people. That's a fun twist. I'm enjoying that. And yeah, other than that, it's just kind of been more of the same. So what about you guys? Shannon, you've been playing Monster Train. Tell me, what do you think about Monster Train?
And Shannon's played Slay the Spire, so I'm like interested to hear kind of like.
Yeah, I like Slay the Spire a little bit better. I just like the, you know, the more linear fashion of it. I do like with Monster Train. I do like the monsters. I like the aesthetic. But I'm at where you're at, Zach. Like when you first played it and you got to that fifth gate, and that boss has like five attacks in a row. Like, yeah. You know, there is no way around it. Like that boss is just going to attack five times, and then whoever you have, you know, in there is going to get their attacks in. And I'm not far enough along to where I have more creatures. So, you know, I have a lot of the like train, what is it? The train gatekeepers or whatever, like the little guys with the furnaces on their heads. And then I have maybe like three or four other guys that are in there. So I routinely will run out of people to fight for me by the second or third level. Like, maybe by the third tier, I have one person left to kind of stand against whoever's left over that's trying to ransack my train. Sure. And it's brutal. Like, I just get overrun. So, you know, I definitely do need to start pilfering out more of, like, the meteor attacks, because I don't feel like they're doing a lot of damage. I mean, they only do 2 points. So, like, they can take out an archer or somebody on the back side of the attack formation. But
when you keep going, there's boosters to those cards that unlock, and all of a sudden those things do like 12, or you can level them up to do 22, or like they'll do 12 at zero cost now, or something like that, and that helps a lot when you can just eliminate one dude off the bat, you know.
I like it. It's just, it doesn't feel as fast as Slay the Spire. Slay the Spire, it feels like you can run through a couple runs, you know, relatively quick. I do like that there's a little bit more variety in Slay the Spire as far as your choices, as far as which way you're going to go. But I do like the aesthetic of Monster Train. I do feel its hooks kind of coming over and being like, hey, like, just try this for a little bit. You know, you'll get it. Like, you'll get farther. And, you know, I do like the monsters. I do like the power-ups. I do like seeing, you know, there's, like, slots on each card that you can adjust and change the power-ups that are and how it's going to affect people. I'm always more of an offensive guy. Like, even in Pokemon, like, I will get rid of all the, you know, the buffs. I'm just straight up, like, brute force. And I think that's how it is in this game too. Like, I would rather use the power-ups on my attacking creatures than buffing the spells and the support attributes. So maybe that's a flaw in my you know, in my deck building that I need to change. But I'm enjoying it. I do like the game itself. I do like seeing everything kind of play out and attack you know, after you've played all your cards and put all your buffs down. It's fun to watch. And I do like the graphics. I do like the aesthetics. I like the soundtrack. So it is a good game. Like, in it's, you know, the fact that it's on Game Pass is awesome. So I didn't have to pay $24 on Steam for it. So I'm all in. Like, I like it. I'm going to play it some more. I don't know if it's going to decrease the amount of Warzone I play, but it's definitely going to be more it's going to be something I play more when I have some free time.
Awesome. Anything else?
I have been playing more Immortals. I'm towards the end of the game. I'm on the last island up in the upper left corner, and it kind of sucks because it does the whole, hey, you've been using these powers the whole game. You've been using this ability to climb the whole game. We're going to take that all away for a little bit now.
Oh, no.
And you're just like, dude, like, it really turns the game into a slog because now you got to walk the path that they want you to walk, and they don't tell you where the path is, so you got to find it, and the island is huge. And, like, you go into areas where, like, you know, it's kind of like a force field around the island. So there are parts on the island where you can use your abilities. But then there's areas where you can't. And because the Switch is fixed graphically, the force field isn't easily visible sometimes. So you'll be flying thinking that you're going to be able to hit that ledge over there. And all of a sudden, like, your stamina is gone and you're falling. And you're just like, shit. All right, I guess. You just got to learn. It's just trial and error. So, yeah, that's kind of annoying. But I've invested so much time into Immortals that now I feel I kind of have to see it through. So
that's super annoying, though. Yeah. That really, like, bums me out to hear that. Just like, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a bummer. I'm going to see it through. But yeah, it's definitely taking the wind out of my sails. I've gone from playing it at, like, you know, at night, I've gone from playing it from when my son goes to bed until I go to bed. So, like, a good 3 hour chunk. Now it's just like an hour before I have to put it down and be like, yeah, that's enough for now. I got to try something else.
All right.
So, Justin, what have you been playing?
Not like this week at, like, work was super crazy. So, I mean, I've played a little bit of Monster Train and stuff. And, like, what you were talking about, too, before with Monster Train, I noticed, like, early on, I made the mistake of, like, when you're going up against the boss, like, not attacking the boss. Like, I was like, all right, well, I'm just taking out the people boarding the train and stuff because the boss is moving around everywhere. And it's like, yeah, no, you really can't, like, wait until, like, the last couple waves to, like, start attacking the boss or you are going to lose. You pretty much have to, like, right from the get-go, like, start getting in damage, because once it gets that final wave and then the boss is just, like, taking out levels of the train, it's like, yeah, no, I need to start doing a lot more, like, damage earlier on to him, because, like, the one dude who, like, with the wings and shit that, like, flies, like, between, he was so fucking annoying, dude. He beat my ass, like, that first round, and I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, he wrecked me pretty good. Like, he took out, like, every level. If it wasn't for the fact that I don't think I had my fire had been touched, I probably would have ended at him. But he took my train down probably, like, 3/4 of the health because I didn't have anything left. The one thing I would say about that game is I do like the fact that the fire fights back.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you, like, a little bit of a respite, but yeah, he wrecked shop when I went up against him.
I also think it's cool that you can power it up so that it does, like, more damage and stuff, and you can you know, while you're, like, going, because, you know, you always hit, like, the different path with the two pathways or whatever, where it's like there's some stuff on this side you can do or this side. And so there was, like, points where I was like, okay, well, my thing hasn't been touched, so I don't really need to heal it and stuff, so I can, like, more, I can risk it and, like, go and, like discard shit from my deck and stuff and not having to worry about, like, healing it or doing anything with that.
I will say it sucks that you gotta pay to discard your cards, like, to get rid of them. You have to pay an X amount depending on the level you're at. That frustrated me.
Yeah, but it's like, after, like, I mean, I didn't really spend a lot of my money. Like, I have a shit ton of money because it's like I didn't really spend a lot of my money on much of anything, so. And it's not like, I don't think it's that expensive to discard cards, but.
Well, it's like, yeah. 50 to, like, 100 depending on how far down the board you are, like, how many stops down you are.
Yeah. But yeah, so I played that, and then I had, like, a real, like, shitty day at work, the one day where it's like I fucking worked until 6:30, and then I had to immediately run and go get dog food, and the place that sells dog food, like, closes at 7. So I was like, fuck. So I had to like do a mad get dog food, and I picked up Panda and then got home eight. And Megan's like, are you ready for bed? And it was like 7:56. I'm like, yes. And so I was just like, dude, because I was just beat. And it was one of those things where it's like, I wish I had Pokemon Snap or something, because I was like, dude, like, I really want to play something, but I want to play something chill. Like, I don't want to fuck with like Immortals. I don't want to, you know, fuck with anything. So I fell back on old boy Yu-Gi-Oh! And so I was just laying in bed playing Yu-Gi-Oh! For like an hour and a half. And I was like,
you know what? I saw you playing that. I saw you playing that. I made a mental note to ask you about it. So I'm glad you brought it up. I was like, wow, back. I mean, I know you were opening packs again on stream. And I was like, man, did the card bug bite you that hard? You fell back into Yu-Gi-Oh?
Well, yeah, it's because I was just like, man, I was just like, I really wanted to play something. That's like one of those where it's like, I already have like that. I was just wrecking everyone with decks. So it's just like a fun little thing. And then I was trying to build new decks and I need like certain cards. So I like used all my like 30,000 points I had accrued, and I only got like one of the two cards I needed. And I'm like, God damn it. So I was like, I need more points to get more packs to get the fucking card I need.
Speaking of which, I love how you used streaming as an excuse to go buy three more boxes of cards.
Yeah,
like, so, yeah. That cracked me up.
All right, I also blame Megan for this too, because so
as long as you're not blaming yourself, Justin. Exactly, that's the important part.
Yeah. So yes, the new Magic set comes out end of this month. So I did pre-order a box of that and some pre-release boxes or whatever of that, but it doesn't come out for a couple weeks. And after my last Magic video opening, Megan bought me some cool little like LED lights that like plug in like via USB and stuff and have little stands, so it like looks better, because I was using this lamp that was like behind me to kind of shine down. It was like really fucking ghetto, but to make the lighting better. So I was like, cool, but I was like, I haven't used the lights yet, because I was like, I don't have anything to open. I was like, I already did the Lego thing. I already opened my cards from Christmas and stuff, and the new Magic set doesn't come out until, you know, end of this month. So Megan was like, well, why don't you just buy some more cards? And I was like, you know, maybe I will buy some more cards. So when we went to Target, I bought,
you
like...
You know what? Maybe yeah. I will.
So when I went to Target, you know, I bought a couple, like, I bought, like, a Zendikar Rising booster box, and then some, like, Commander Legend, like, three-pack booster thing. And then we were just having fun being out, because we haven't really been out of the house in probably, like, I don't even know. Like, I mean, we go over to Matt's and stuff, but, like, actually be out of the house, and since we work at home, do whatever. I was just like, dude, Megan didn't want to go back home. And I was like, dude, I don't fucking blame you. Like, normally I'd go to the movies or something, but it's like, that's not fucking happening anytime soon, right? Or ever again. And so she wanted to go to Desert Sky Games, and I was like, and buy cards and just sit there and play cards. And I was like, okay, like, we can do that. So we end up, and it's like not anywhere near us. Like, that shit's like 40 minutes away from us. But we drove all the way out there just to find out that, you know, because of COVID and stuff, like, you weren't basically allowed to sit at the tables and play Magic or anything. But we drove all the way out there. So Megan was like, well, do you want anything? And I was like, well, I guess I'll buy more fucking cards while we're here. So I bought another booster box of Commander Legends. And then I also bought a couple cardboard boxes of just the store cards, because after my last ones, they're all in like these little boxes and shit. So I like, last night, that was my project until like 11 at night, was I like got all my Magic cards out and sorted them all and like labeled the boxes and stuff and like condensed them all and made more space and stuff. So
home improvement projects. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
I didn't drive 42 minutes to not buy boxes of cards. So I
might as well just drop another like $120 on a box of Magic cards.
I mean, yeah, I remember back in the, like, Zach, I don't know if this is a question that you have too, but like, I don't know, like, I remember back in the day, like, buying a box of Magic cards was like baller status. Like, you were,
oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And nowadays people are like buying, like, Justin's over here like dropping boxes on streams like it's nothing.
I don't know. It's like people buy boxes like people buy packs when we were like 17, you know? It's like, dude, I would like take my hard-earned money and be like, damn, I bought five packs. I am rolling in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And now people are like, I got five boxes, son. Like, what do you know about it?
But that's my thing, is like a kid and stuff, like for Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, like I never got like a legit like booster box of cards. Like, I always got booster packs or, like, some decks or whatever, but it's like, you know, I wasn't the one buying cards half of that. Or, I mean, for Yu-Gi-Oh! And stuff, I was, but by that point, I just wanted to build decks, so I was just buying individual cards online and stuff. Like, I wasn't opening packs for them.
Sure.
So this is, like, the first time where I'm just like, yeah, dude, I'll buy, like, some actual boxes of Magic cards just to open them.
And also, I kind of get it, because you said it yourself, you're not going to the movies. You're not doing, you're not spending money in all these ways you normally would be. So yeah, it's like, why not? Like, you know, if your entertainment budget for the month is, you know, $200 to $300, it's like, well, I'm not spending it anywhere else. I might as well entertain myself somehow, you know?
Right. And it's not like it's going to waste. Like, I mean, I have the cards. So
look at Shannon just breaking out.
I know Shannon.
I know, dude. I was like looking over here. Like, damn.
Brought up magic cards and Shannon got a little giddy over here. And he's
I did. Like, I'm like, look at this. I got a red deck sitting right here.
Oh, man. Dude, so interesting things. So when I was sorting the magic cards, I went down this rabbit hole of watching people like open up Pokemon cards and stuff, like old packs and stuff, like not that long ago. And this dude in this video had mentioned how he was opening up the original base set, and there was certain cards, like just even Charmander and Bulbasaur and stuff, that like they're called shadow lists, and it's where on the box of like the art on like the side normally there's a shadow, but in like the original base set and stuff like that, like there's like a print error where there wouldn't be that shadow. And he's like, yeah, dude, even like just normal common cards that are like the shadow lists and stuff can like go for some money. And I was like, dude, I never noticed that ever. Yeah. So when I was sorting the magic cards, I was like, huh. So I busted out like the – I don't have very many Pokemon cards like left compared to like what I had as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I busted those boxes out, and I was going through, and I found like a bunch of the shadow lists and stuff and from like the base set. And I was like, dude, that's like crazy. And I mean – They're if they were to get PSA graded or whatever, I mean, they'd probably get a 7 tops just because they are played, and you look at the back and there's like the chipping and stuff. But dude, some of them for like a Charmander that's like shadowless, that's like a PSA 10, it's like I'd say like $80.
Wow.
Which for a common card, I was like, I have like 10 of those.
It's like I would send the stack out, because, I mean, that means a 7 would probably still get you 20.
That's what I was thinking, because I'm like, even like $12 a card to get graded, I'm like, if like even one of them could come back as like a 9, like that would still be, you're still making a profit. So I was
in reality, as long as all of them are over 5 or 6, like you're still making money. So. Damn, that's crazy. I want to go through all my cards now.
But yeah, because I was sitting there and there was like certain cards, like there's this one too that's like I remember having tons of this. Like I remember having so many of this card that I was just giving it out to fucking friends and shit. Like, and it was Misty's Tears, and the Japanese version, the art changed when it came into English, because you can kind of see Misty's side boob because she's holding up like a Staryu or whatever. And so, but when it came over to America, they changed the art because they were like, this is too risque. But it's like, I have like that card, and like a PSA, like high of that is like $200 or something, like fucking insane. And I was just like, dude, like that's bonkers, man. I only have like one copy of that card now, but I was like, dude, I remember having like 20, like easy of that card. And I was just giving them away, and they probably got sold at a garage sale somewhere. I'm like, dude, I'm like fucking like loathing my parents right now for like selling all my fucking Pokemon cards, my Legos for like my entire tub of Legos for like $100 to family friend when it's like fucking like $800 worth of Legos.
Oh, don't even get me started. Like I had the original like Transformers that were like metal, not the plastic ones that are made nowadays. Like an Optimus Prime in like even moderate condition is still like a couple hundred bucks nowadays, and I was like, dude, Transformers, I had all of them,
every single one. Get the hell out of here. So you had me look, just thinking of like random Pokemon shit that I have. And so I was working for a game a company that sold cards for a while, and I got as a promo the Team Rocket card. Like it was right when the Team Rocket set was coming out, and I got the binder for it as like a promo.
Yeah.
And I still have it, and it's like literally sat in a box in my attic for 20 years. And I went up on eBay right now, and There is one on there that still has 3 days left, and the current bids are $104.
Wow.
And I was like, and it has 18 bids on it.
Yeah, like, dude.
I should just like go through all the random Pokemon shit I still have and just like sell all of it. Like, I'll buy a PS5 with that shit.
Yeah, dude. Some of like the Team Rocket cards and stuff. Like even like Dark Charmeleon, which is just like an uncommon card. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that still goes for like easily, like you could probably just easily flip that for like $10, like not even getting it like PSA graded. And it's not even like a rare card.
Is a dark, how much is a Dark Charizard? I'm pretty sure I have one of those.
Oh, Dark Charizard's like way more, especially if you get that. If it's in great condition, PSA graded.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking here. It's like $75.
You're like, all right. Get one of these bad boys.
Justin's about to go buy a house.
I'm like kids in their 30s selling their Pokemon cards. Hey. Buy homes.
I'd rather flip my cards for real estate any day. Like, yeah, take that. But yeah, now that we've progressed down what we have in our random Pokemon stores, let's why don't we wrap this episode up? Because I think we've done it. So who's doing it? Shannon? Justin?
No, dude,
Shannon,
you did it last week and I screwed it up, so I'm gonna have Justin do it this time.
He went in there with a hey fellas. Shit, I mean guys.
No. Fine. So wait, before I even do the outro, did you leave it in?
Jordan, Justin. Like,
yeah, okay, he did leave it in. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, dude, I didn't edit it out. I told you I was gonna leave
Shannon
it in.
He said he was gonna edit it out originally, and I was like, dude, because it was just so funny, because I was like, dude, you fuck. It up again like every time, like it's so good.
Jordan's right. Gonna hate my ass.
You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another titacular episode of the podcast. You can go over to our Discord where there's more fun witty banter that happens all the time. You know, the Facebook group has been revitalized lately. I saw actually too, the Twitter's actually been revitalized lately more than ever. Zach's been posting more stuff on the Twitter, so mm-hmm. That's been fun to see. So you can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. You can join the Discord. By now, I'm sure you know all of our handles. You can go on iTunes even if you want and give us a review, however many stars you want. No one's counting. And you can tell us, you know, how we're doing. Let us know what you like. And Zach, if Robbie was here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey guys, go be great.
He'd also say Wonder Woman 84 is a great movie.
He'd also say,
no, he won't anymore. He won't anymore.
Yeah, dude, I saw Zach roasting him on Twitter.